From Aspen Public Radio, this is Curated, stories on the art and the artists who make up the Roaring Fork Valley. I'm Claire Woodcock, arts and culture reporter here at Aspen Public Radio. Earlier this month, I was in Breckenridge for Colorado Creative Industries' yearly summit. For 2 days, it was this breeding ground for artists and organizers, swapping ideas on how to both best celebrate and preserve Colorado's cultural assets. But just what is Colorado Creative Industries? Margaret Hunt, CCI's executive director, tells us.
We're housed in the Governor's Office of Economic Development. We are the designated state arts agency, and we serve both the for-profit and nonprofit creative sectors.
Hunt says that this year's summit turned out to be the most well-attended yet, with 59 Colorado towns being represented.
Bringing people together from around the state is really highly valued because many people who work in the creative sector, they feel that they're all alone doing the work they're doing.
We'll hear more from Hunt later, but first on today's program, Carbondale is in the running for a CCI initiative with the potential to address the town's affordable housing problem for creatives. And National Endowment for the Arts chairperson Jane Chu speaks about the impact the arts are having on non-arts sectors in the country. All that curated, plus music from a Fort Collins band that's bringing Dirt Stompin' Soul to Aspen on Friday. Thanks for tuning in and stay with me. Back in March, trustees for the town of Carbondale applied for an initiative through Colorado Creative Industries that could bring more affordable housing and workspaces to creatives in the valley. I'm in the passenger seat of local artist Robert Birch's truck. We're outside Carbondale, but we can't say exactly where. Birch describes what he sees.
We're on like a county road, headed up through a bunch of trees. The roads aren't great, just snowed, and sometimes it'll open up into a field, but mostly it's those juniper trees, maybe a few aspens here and there.
He pulls up to the destination, his tiny home, describing it as a 7x10-foot car trailer with a little house built on top. It's parked in a location with an incredible view of Mount Sopris.
I have 3 points of contact with the ground, so these are all jacks so I can level everything.
I can't imagine you being able to do that much artwork in here.
No, not at all. I mean, the house itself to me was a big art project to begin with.
Birch's mediums are glass production, metal fabrication, and painting. So when faced with steep rents and needing a place to live, he says building a tiny home for himself made a lot of sense to him artistically. Up until recently, tiny homes were totally illegal in Garfield County.
If you call it your permanent residence, which it isn't for me, but I live in there enough.
Now, tiny homes can exist on unincorporated parts of the county. But not everyone can just up and build a tiny home like Birch did. He says that many of the artists he knows are still homeless, living out of their vehicles, and that the social and economic pulse to Carbondale belongs to these displaced artists.
It's not fair to be able to exploit all the creative endeavors of the people that are in your town and do nothing to support them. They'll just leave and go to a town that actually does facilitate a space for these people that need a place to work and need a place to live.
In March, the town of Carbondale applied for the statewide Space to Create initiative. The initiative helps build and provide affordable live-work spaces to creatives in rural communities throughout Colorado. Amy Kimberly is the executive director of the nonprofit Carbondale Arts.
Space is really scarce. It's hard to live here, and we are losing a lot of people that want to live here and can't. So we need development, and we want smart development. And project like this is the kind of development that will provide opportunity in our community.
Colorado Creative Industries, the division of state government behind Space to Create, certified Carbondale as a creative district last June. If the town is selected for the initiative, there'll be a market analysis to determine Carbondale's needs.
Is it one-bedroom places? Is it family spots? Is it workspaces? Is it studio spaces?
But Carbondale has some obstacles to overcome in order to be the town selected for this project. Jay Harrington is Carbondale's town manager. He says the town would benefit from the support that CCI would facilitate through locating additional funds for economic development.
We can't put a townwide real estate transfer tax, which is a very logical way to pay for affordable housing. And we're fairly maxed out on sales tax, which is our primarily funding source. There's not a lot of money to both acquire land or develop housing.
Bob Schultz is the land planning consultant that put the application together. He says the town only has one shot at this initiative, but he also notes that Carbondale residents are a resourceful bunch.
Affordable housing isn't something that you solve. it's a practice, like meditating or doing yoga. You just keep trying to get better.
Kimberly says creatives make up at least 75% of the town's workforce, which means a wide variety of Carbondale residents would be eligible for this potential affordable housing.
Teachers to local food producers, culinary arts, media arts, publications, writing.
Carbondale, blogs, Paonia, and Crested Butte are all still waiting for a green light from Colorado Creative Industries to proceed to the next step. Musicians. Later on Curated, CCI's Executive Director Margaret Hunt will provide a status update on this region's bid for the initiative. But first, let's rewind back to Thursday, May 4th, when Jane Chu, chairperson of the National Endowment for the Arts, was in Breckenridge to give Thursday's keynote speech at the CCI Summit. Hunt made the introduction to a crowd of about 350 artists and organizers eating their lunch.
Jane Chu is the 11th chair of the National Endowment for the Arts. She has a background in arts administration and philanthropy. She's also an accomplished artist and musician. She leads a dedicated and passionate group of people to support and fund the arts and create activities in communities across the nation. So please join me in welcoming Jane Chu.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Margaret. It is such a pleasure to be able to join you today. Margaret Hunt and your team, you are doing such great work here in the beautiful state of Colorado. My purpose in life is to create. If I'm looking for meaning and beauty in my life, it's my creativity that allows me to find it. And if I'm trying to tackle a complex problem, it's my creativity that lets me solve those old problems in new ways. And instead of saying I'm stuck, or it's always been done this way before, it's my creativity that says, dream about what can be instead of what is. So there's never been a better time to recognize the value of creativity, because we live in this wonderful moment where there's intense interest in creativity. It wasn't that long ago when the word creativity was almost exclusively associated just with individual artists. So if you were not a painter or a musician or a writer, you probably didn't either have much use for creativity in your life, or you might say, well, that other person is creative, but I'm not. But that notion has now changed dramatically in recent years, and there's greater appreciation not only for those traditional artists, but also for how valuable an asset creativity can be, because we know that each of us has our creativity within us. Creativity is the subject of many articles and books and studies, from how it works to how you can unlock your own creativity. And it's also become important for organizations in many sectors. We are seeing increasing numbers of artists working as artists in non-arts areas, science labs and tech companies, senior citizens centers, businesses, hospitals, mayor's offices. So why is this happening? Well, some of it comes from artists being inspired to work on urgent societal issues. So for example, in Birmingham, Alabama, Space 111 put together a series of storefront window exhibitions by visual artists and their mentees, and each pair created work that addresses themes of tolerance, social justice, civil rights. Or leaders in the non-art sectors are also seeing how artists and designers can help them solve old problems in new ways. For example, in the city of Boston, Mayor Marty Walsh created a cabinet-level position to integrate arts and culture within the city government. And so now their arts and culture team has everyday conversations with transportation and safety and public housing. And the City of Minneapolis Arts, Culture, and Creative Economy Program is leading a project that embeds artists in city departments, such as its long-range planning and regulations department, and it helps solve community outreach problems. And so some of the mashup between the arts and non-art sectors is happening because artists are actively looking beyond just the art sector so that they can find work, employment. So for example, artists with Ideas X Lab in Louisville, Kentucky, they're working with insurance companies and governments and communities to improve health outcomes in low-income communities through the arts. And look what Colorado Creative Industries has done right here in Colorado to blaze the trail for strong and sustainable creative districts. So when it comes to growing a state's creative economy, your creative districts, the state of Colorado, you are a good model to follow. And the arts gives us one of the best avenues, one of the fastest avenues, one of the most self-aware and other-aware avenues to our own creativity than you can find. We have seen across the nation that the arts don't just complement our lives, they bring meaning to our lives. And all of this has led to a deeper understanding of how creativity and the arts can help us move forward as a society, because we've seen that arts spark vitality in us as individuals and in our communities, and this vitality is demonstrated in so many different ways, including the economic prosperity of our nation. So if you look at the data from the Bureau of Economic Analysis about arts and cultural employment and compensation, the arts and culture sector contributed $729.6 billion, 4.2% of the United States economy in 2014. That's $750 billion. That's more than the travel and tourism sector. It's more than the transportation and warehousing sector. It's more than the construction sector. And the arts and culture sector has grown over the past decade and a half. So between 1998 and 2014, the contribution of arts and culture to the nation's GDP grew by 35%. That's significantly faster growth than the accommodations and food services sector, or transportation and warehousing, or construction sectors. It's growing like as fast as it can go. And in 2014, the arts and culture sectors employed more than 96,000 workers in Colorado alone. So that makes up in Colorado 3.7% of Colorado's total employment. The workers earned $6.8 billion in compensation, which made up 4.1% of the total compensation for all workers from any industry in Colorado. So this means that arts and culture workers actually earned more on average than non-arts workers in Colorado. So how does Colorado compare nationally in compensation and employment? So in 2014, Colorado ranked 16th among all states in arts and culture employment, and 17th among all states in arts and culture employment growth. And so Colorado also ranked 16th among all states in compensation for arts and culture workers, 12th among all states in the growth of this compensation. So when it comes to arts and culture and employment, Colorado is one of the leaders in the nation. So we see through all this hard evidence that the arts play a significant role in the health and the vitality of our nation and local economies and to the livelihoods of Americans. And at the National Endowment for the Arts, we know of the transformational power that the arts have in bringing beauty and meaning to our lives. That's certainly at the heart of why I personally went into the arts, but we've also seen how the arts can generate positive change across vastly different arenas. Other sectors increasingly looking to the arts as a way to enhance their sectors. Creativity leads an artist to develop work, and it can also illuminate new possibilities within companies, communities, and industries outside of the arts sector and help them discover innovative paths to progress. So what this shows us is that the arts, they're not just some separate category of society. They're not exclusively for some people while eliminating others. They're not just a form of entertainment once in a while. The arts are an integral part of our national and global life, and they influence and enhance so much of our everyday lives. They push us to new frontiers of innovation, and they open our eyes to the new ways of seeing and thinking and doing. They're a means for creating the world we want to live in, where everyone has access to new opportunities and the chance for their dreams to be realized. I believe that if you can create, you can reach any dream you want. And I want to thank you for believing in the transformation and the power of the arts and for working so hard for bringing this power of creation to the people of Colorado or wherever you live. So keep doing it. You're making a difference. Thank you.
That was Jane Chu, chairperson of the National Endowment for the Arts, giving the keynote speech at this year's Colorado Creative Industries Annual Summit. Pretty big deal. At least Margaret Hunt, CCI's executive director, seems to think so. She joins me now. Colorado Creative Industries acts as a distributor of National Endowment for the Arts funds to organizations throughout the state. So how does CCI decide where that federal money goes to secure state money for programs?
So it is a competitive grant application, and organizations apply for funding. We have a pretty rigorous review process, and we use community members as panelists. We don't actually decide. The outside reviewers evaluate the applications and then make recommendations to us. I would also say that to your listeners. If there are listeners that are interested in reviewing grants, it's really an incredible learning opportunity to learn about all of the things happening across the state of Colorado.
Colorado Creative Industries has a lot of different programs that have been rolled out in the last 4 to 5 years even.
So I'll start with our Creative District Program, which was enacted into legislation in 2012. When I came in 2013, we had 2 certified arts districts. The legislation authorizes CCI to certify arts districts or creative districts that meet certain standards and guidelines. So picture 2 creative districts or arts districts in 2013. In 2016, just 3 years later, we had 18 certified districts. And we reviewed a number of new applicants this year. And in June, we'll be announcing some new certified districts in the state. So that's a program that has really just exploded. And I think the reason for that is communities see this as an economic development strategy. When you send a message to your community that you're interested in supporting arts and creative sector employment, it's a really strong message to those creative sector entrepreneurs and artists that the community values them.
And what does it take to become a creative district in the state of Colorado?
Any community or neighborhood can call itself a creative district. What we do is we certify those districts that meet our high standards. So with certification comes some funding and a lot of support from the state through various departments. What we look for in certifying a district is there a high concentration of creative sector businesses and artists? Is there a sustainable budget to manage a district, because it does take resources to do it right? And is there paid staff? Because it really does take paid staff to be able to really advance the district in a professional manner. When we started the program, we allowed volunteer-run organizations, but what we realized pretty quickly is that there are so many people in communities that are wearing so many hats as volunteers, we were seeing a lot of volunteer burnout. So we added the requirement for paid staff a couple of years ago. And then I think the final thing I would say, it's kind of the it factor. When you're in a district, is it obvious that you're in a creative district? It has a certain vibe and feel and energy to it. That's really the hard one to define. You know it when you see it.
Totally. It's so subjective. And then Colorado Creative Industries also has this other program that's kind of like the next step up from being a creative district, the Space to Create initiative. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. When we surveyed our creative districts a couple of years ago, we learned that we tried to identify what their greatest needs were. And one of the things that was identified was affordable space, live-work space for creatives. Because here's what happens. It's known as the SoHo effect, SoHo, New York. So when artists and creatives move into a neighborhood or a community, they typically move into an area that is very affordable. And often they're pioneers, if you will, in communities or neighborhoods that may have challenges. But artists move in, and then the neighborhood or the community becomes hip and cool. And then other people move in, property values start to rise. And then the artists find themselves having to move out because they can no longer afford to live and work there. So Space to Create is an effort on our part to get ahead of that problem. We are focusing that on small, rural, and mountain communities off the Front Range. But we're also providing support to Front Range communities by connecting them directly with consultants that can help them with this issue. So, for example, in Denver, in the Rhino Arts District, we referred them to a consultant, and they've got an affordable live-work project in the works now.
So just to be clear, this isn't a grant program.
This is not a grant program. I play the role of facilitator and convener by identifying partners and resources and assisting communities through this process. This is community driven. It's based on the needs of the neighborhood or the community. And once those needs are identified, then we begin to identify the resources that can be brought to bear to address those specific needs. For example, affordable residential space in Colorado is a problem across the state, and some communities really want to address that affordable space issue for residential space for creative sector workers. Other communities are interested in community art centers or workspace, so shared studio space, maker space, gallery space. So it just depends on what the needs of the community are and what they've identified, and then we match them up with the resources.
So when can the communities under consideration for the next Space to Create project expect to hear back from Colorado Creative Industries?
Well, we hope it'll be very soon. What we did was we brought a group of experts and agencies that have resources conduct site visits in those communities this last week. And what we realize is there's a lot of information that we need to gather before we can make a decision. And typically, it is those agencies and philanthropic foundations who are partnering with us who get together after a site visit and review all of their notes and the information they gathered and then make some decisions about how to proceed. So we hope it'll be fairly soon. We hope it'll be sometime in the next 2 weeks if we're not in a position where we have to gather additional information. So it's kind of a rolling deadline. There's no real hard set date.
How does Colorado Creative Industries serve as a model to other states' art programs?
Colorado ranked number one in the nation for the percentage of adults who create artwork or perform artistically. We've kind of broken out of the box and we've started something differently, and other states are watching us for that. They've been very interested in the success of our Creative District program. That's become a national model, and I've received inquiries from many states about our program, and in fact have helped two states with suggesting language for legislation. And in both California and the state of Washington now, they've recently enacted legislation to create Creative District programs based on our success.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That was Margaret Hunt, Executive Director of Colorado Creative Industries, speaking with me from Denver on Saturday. The Fort Collins-based trio Tallgrass is bringing its dirt stomping soul to the Belly Up Friday. This track is called Be Somebody, off the bluegrass band's 2014 album, Better Than Medicine.
Somebody, yeah. I will be somebody, yeah.
That was the Fort Collins-based folk band Tallgrass. The trio returns to Belly Up Aspen this Friday, May 19th. For more information, visit bellyupaspen.com. Doors open at 9:30 p.m. Also this week in the arts. Tuesday, join Aspen Words writer-in-residence Lijah Fisher at Hooch Craft Cocktail Bar at 5:30 p.m. for an author talk. The first book in Fisher's debut middle school grade series will be published in 2018. Wednesday, artist Don Stuber will discuss his photography in the exhibit Vietnam, Then and Now at 6 p.m. at the Aspen Chapel Gallery. Thursday, Dick Durrance and Sue Drinker, who were on the show last week, will join Nanette Weinhold in guiding a seeing expedition through the alleyways of Carbondale at 5:30 p.m. And Hayden Gregg and Hap Harriman will play Heather's Savory Pies and Tapas and Basalt. Gregg's toured with the Eagles, Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, and John Denver. That show begins at 7 p.m. on Thursday. And Saturday, the Wheeler Opera House will host a 5-point film festival encore. The festival celebrated its 10-year anniversary back in April. The award-winning films will start screening at 6 p.m. That's all that's curated for this week. For more on arts and culture, visit us at aspenpublicradio.org or tune into Morning Edition through the week from 6 to 9 a.m. I'm Claire Woodcock at the Edlis Neeson Arts and Culture Desk. Today's show is produced by myself, with helpful tips from Wyatt Orm. Edited by News Director Carolyn Zachariasen. Our theme song, called Omnicord Entrance, was made local by Greg Lau and Jason Patton, two Colorado musicians based in Boulder. The two other tunes heard on the show today were Pleasure by Feist and Be Somebody by the Fort Collins band Tallgrass. Special thanks to the Stephan Edlis and Gail Neeson Foundation, which aims to support the arts, community, and outreach. Curated is a production of Aspen Public Radio News. You're listening to Aspen Public Radio, broadcasting on KAJX Aspen and KCJX Carbondale. Your news, your music, your station.